In the flurry of promises that are thrust around during an election campaign, it really only focuses on what are you going to do for me now? Which is super for today, but dangerous if you're hoping for a bright future for generations to come. Wales has taken a far more progressive approach by incorporating a future generations commissioner to oversee policy to ensure that the inevitable future generation has a voice in decisions that are likely to affect them more than the living folks making those decisions. Sophie Howe, the inaugural Future Generations Commissioner for Wales and thinker in residence at the Forest Research Foundation, joins us on the record on the phone now. Good morning, Sophie.
Good morning, Jeff. Great to be with you.
Thank you. Now, the thought of being good ancestors seems like such a great idea as to be, obvious. But here in the vast mining quarry that is Western Australia, the thought of being a good ancestor beyond leaving a nest egg for your kids, if they're lucky, it's pretty much an alien thought. Were you up against the same sort of short-term focus in Wales?
Look, Jeff, it's the same in every country across the world because we've got short-term political cycles. The things that the media and people sort of often measure are very short-term things. We've got short-term budget cycles, and that means that politicians are generally just taking decisions on what it is that can be achieved in the next 2, 3, 4 years. And that means that some of these big issues, like how do we tackle climate change, how do we make sure there's good quality housing for the next generation, but also like how do we make sure that there's housing which is fit for an aging population, those things get left to just be dealt with when they become a crisis. So it's not unique here to WA. It was the same in Wales, and it's the same in many countries across the world.
I mean, the thought of actually, I mean, heck, even getting a house built within 3 years is often a challenge. How does a government expect anything to really happen substantially in that kind of period?
Well, that's exactly the challenge, particularly with your very short-term electoral cycles here. But even in the UK and Wales, where I'm from, the electoral cycle's only 5 years. And really what we need to be planning for, if you think about building houses now, you want really those houses to be around 50 to 100 years' time. So you need to be having that mindset in government and in the people who are thinking about what types of houses are we building, where are they going to be, what sorts of communities do we need to create, and what do we need to be thinking about in terms of climate resilience. We need to be having those people with this long-term mindset, and that generally just doesn't exist, which is why in Wales we passed a law to require our politicians, our government officials and agencies to demonstrate how they've thought of those long-term interests when they're making policy and taking decisions today.
And that remit in Wales, I seem to recall from hearing you speak that you'd focus on 7 distinct areas. Could you run through those? Because they seem to be very relevant to a resource-rich state like WA.
Absolutely. So the first thing that we did in Wales is we actually held a national conversation with our citizens. It was called The Wales We Want, and it posed the question to people in Wales, what is the Wales you want to leave behind to your children, your grandchildren and future generations to come? And people themselves came up with their own vision of this Wales that we were trying to create. And it was around prosperity, but prosperity thinking about planetary boundaries as well. It was about creating the conditions where people's physical and mental health can thrive. It was about cohesive and well-connected and vibrant communities. It was about protecting our language, culture and heritage, and it was about ensuring equity. And it was about us recognising our position in the rest of the world. And, you know, that's an interesting one for WA as well, because you hold here many of the minerals and the resources that much of the rest of the world will need to decarbonise and tackle climate change. So it's really about saying, what are the things that we can do, acting now for the long term, to try and achieve that vision of the Wales or the Western Australia that we want to leave behind to our grandkids?
So what happens at the meeting point of this government, new government policy and review by your office? How does it actually take place?
Well, first of all, there's a legal duty on the government and our other agencies to make sure that they've applied the Act. And my office acted as a kind of check and balance, if you like, that had been done. So, you know, we're in a democratic system. I wasn't an elected official. I was a public appointed official. So I couldn't force anyone to do anything or stop anyone to do anything. But essentially what I was doing was being the voice that is never heard, and it sounds a bit weird, but the voice of the unborn, if you like, those people who don't get to vote, but those people who what we do today will fundamentally affect. And, you know, I suppose it's the same for children as well. They don't get to vote, but the decisions we're taking today will really affect their lives. So my job was to say, hang on a minute, show me how you've considered the long-term impact of whatever it is you're planning to do, and show me how you've applied your legal duties under the Wellbeing of Future Generations Act. And sometimes we'd get into a bit of an argument about that. Sometimes, and more often than not, actually, the government would say, well, actually, we've passed this law because it is common sense to do this. And in fact, when the minister who passed the law in Wales described it as the Common Sense Act, because we want to act for the long term. We want to prevent problems from occurring, you know, or getting worse if we possibly can. And we want to join up different parts of government to try and achieve that. And that is inherently common sense. So often when I intervened, they would say, actually, you've got a point. Let's go back to the drawing board and look at how we can do these things differently.
Has it meant that decisions have become more bipartisan in Wales? Has it brought the parties closer together?
Wales has got, a fairly strong history of fairly consensual sort of government and politics, if you like. But actually, the power of citizens coming together and setting some long-term goals, that has actually meant that all political parties have had to take that on board, because it's the voice of the people. And it's really powerful when you set out a vision for a country which isn't going to change from one electoral cycle to the next. So, for example, the private sector aren't actually covered technically by our law, and nor are the sort of voluntary sector. But increasingly what they're starting to do is to frame their actions around delivering this long-term vision for Wales, because they're saying, actually, what the private sector, what we as businesses like, is certainty. We like to know where we're going, so we can start organising our strategy. And that's one of the reasons why Wales has gone from number 11 out of 12 regions in the UK in terms of green job creation to last year number 3 in the whole of the UK. That's because businesses are saying, we know the direction of travel of the government, and we're willing to get behind that, invest and start growing our businesses in those areas.
And there's something we're hearing a lot of at the moment, isn't it, in terms of a country being a stable place to do business or not?
Absolutely. Private sector loves certainty. And, you know, I suppose what we are doing is saying, political parties may change. You might get a new government in 5 years' time, or actually the election in Wales is next year. But those broad goals that have been agreed by citizens are not going to change. What the political parties do when they come into government is say they have to set out their plan for achieving those goals. Now, the specific actions they take forward or the specific policies, might be different one party to another. But the broad goals, the broad direction of travel, the North Star, if you like, for our country, is not changing, and that's a powerful thing for everyone to get behind.
Now, Sophie, your success in Wales has led to other countries taking a similar approach. Is there an appetite for it here in WA, specifically from our state government?
Well, I met with the Premier, Roger Cook, last week, and he was very open to a discussion. I'm hoping to have a further discussion with him and his team before I leave. I also attended the launch of the Coalition to Campaign for a Future Generations Act, which has got many leading figures across WA. And I'm engaging in lots of different sort of speaking events where the feedback that I'm getting is exactly what I said. Hang on a minute, isn't this common sense? Why doesn't every country in the world have something like this? And, you know, that's the mission, I guess.
I think that's the reaction most people have when they hear of that office in Wales. Why don't we have one? Just finally, Sophie, how successful have our ancestors been?
Well, sadly, this generation of younger people are going to be the first generation in many, many generations who, on a number of fronts, fare worse than their parents and grandparents. So we are seeing rising wealth inequality. There are these big challenges around climate change. We're seeing, aren't we? We're living in this sort of polarized society, and we're seeing the effects of that from what's happening in terms of the breakdown of democracy in countries across the world. And that, you know, the world is so connected now that we can't just isolate those problems in whatever country they might emerge. We see the ripple effects that happen. And therefore, I think it is for sometimes the smaller countries like Wales, who are perhaps a bit more nimble and can do innovative things and set the way. But it is then for the bigger and more powerful countries to say, actually, you know, whatever is going on in the rest of the world, we want to set out a different path for this. And I really hope that Western Australia will be a key state in doing that. And perhaps even there's been a bill in the federal parliament before the election from MP Sophie Scomps. We're hoping to see that reintroduced, depending on what happens, of course, in the election in the next week or so. But let's just see if Australia could be that country who is saying to the rest of the world, we have a different, better way to do this, and we actually care about the world we're leaving behind to our grandkids.
Well, our resources would certainly provide a perfect opportunity to fund that, wouldn't it?
Well, this is the exciting thing, I think, about WA, is that you're actually in a really good position, and you have those resources and those assets. So the question to pose is, how are we using them most effectively to secure our futures, and also to secure good futures, not just for people here in WA, but what's our role in doing that across the world, given the position and the really unique position that you're in?
I think people should probably think a little bit more about their vote in the upcoming election.
Absolutely. I really hope that people are voting. In fact, I've heard of people, talking to their kids and grandkids and saying, if you were me, who would you vote for? And then voting in that way. And I'd like everyone to be voting on the basis of, how's this going to work out for my children and my grandchildren? I'm sure that everyone really has their best interests in mind.
That is just the perfect advice, Sophie. Sophie, you are going to be talking at the University of WA on Thursday, 1st of May. Is it open to the public?
Well, that one's a registered event, but I'm also speaking this evening in the Museum of WA, and I think that there might still be a couple of tickets available. So that's 7 o'clock this evening, if anyone's interested in coming along and learning more.
Well, Sophie, thank you for being such an inspirational advocate for those yet to be born.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. That's Sophie Howe talking to us there. Well, about the future, and it's something I think we should all be caring about. 0405 921 921, let us know your thoughts.